Well, good morning. How was your morning sessions? Coffee kicking in? All right, great. No? Don't ask for coffee? No more coffee this morning. All right, well, welcome. Thank you for coming. One of the things I was looking at when I put together these slides and you work with the template, and I thought about how I was going to start off my talk here, is I realized that the slide starts with dev. Not developer. It's like, have we gotten to the point where we just don't finish typing anything and we just kind of expect an autocomplete? And I was just thinking about that. It's kind of the way we think about the cloud business apps, tools that we've got in Visual Studio now, is we want you to be able to really be productive and just do a little bit. We'll help you with the rest. We know some focus of what you're building. And we can guide you along the way, and you can, if it really is something else besides developer, you can change it, and we'll talk about that today. I'm Steve Lasker. I'm a program manager on the Cloud Platform Tools team. We focus on productivity for you as developers that are building business apps. If you guys are building consumer games and that's your focus, that's not this session. We're going to help you figure out when you're building those apps inside your company, what we can do to help you be more productive leveraging our Microsoft platform. All right? So with that, what I'm going to do is I have a number of slides which will set things up, and then I'm going to spend the majority of the time in demos. So hopefully this will give some good context and can see how the product actually digs in. So as part of that, in that business space, how many of your customers, if you're consultants or your employees, walk into the office and just walk up to their desk, get their coffee, and just sit at their desk all day and crank along? Right? Is that happening anymore? I mean, I'm sure there's some people, but they're working in the field, right? They're out and about. They're out there with like a million different devices that we can't keep track of anymore. It's no longer the company-issued ones, and it's not just, Windows phones. It's fruit and robots and foxes and all kinds of other little devices that people are coming in, and they expect their apps to just work. They're working in new ways. And with all these apps that you're building, where do they find them? Right? They have new ways of working. There's new expectations of how they should interact. What was the last time you guys wrote a help doc that helped somebody understand how to use an app? Right, somebody in the back there. I mean, when you buy products now, at Christmas, I used to remember having to physically configure things and finding the bag of screws and a number of years ago, I realized that I was just installing software. And even that has changed. And no longer is there an instruction book. Everything is expected to be intuitive. So that's the kind of thing that we're changing with apps as well. No longer do we have the big old grids with densely populated screens, and like everything's in front of like this cockpit of a dashboard. It's more task-oriented, it's more visual, more intuitive. So that's what we want to be able to do is help you create those kind of apps for your customers. Now, one of the interesting things after, I've been doing this for longer than I care to acknowledge, and one of the challenges was, all right, we're going to start a new project. What are we going to build? All right, we get the requirements. We start to figure things out. And then what do you got to do? You got to figure out where you're going to develop this thing. Do you have the servers? What service pack is on it? Is it Windows X? Is it SharePoint Y? Which SQL Server is it configured properly? And then once you get one environment set up, what do you do for your development, test, staging, QA, production environments? Right? You spend so much time just trying to get the environment set up, you never actually, by the time you got to the app, it's like half your project was done. So now, with the things we're doing with the cloud, you can point and click and have an environment configured for you. You can no longer have to worry about all of those details. You can know you'll have a stable platform that you could connect to, a database, a SharePoint. You have a common place to do authentication now. Right? All of these things start to make things a lot easier for developers to be productive building those apps, and you could focus your time on the app functionality itself. You can work on premises, you can work in the cloud. You can now see the life cycle of your app. You can tell when the thing's in production, how well people are using it, what's breaking, what are the areas they're focused on, where should you spend more time in the next version of your app. Right? All those things are elevating your ability to actually get a lot more done. At the same token, we've also adopted a new set of standards where we can connect to where those devices are. Right? They might be in the office on a Wi-Fi, they might be in your retail store where it's still a closed network, or they might be wherever your users are as you guys are here. I'm sure a number of you are doing more work than you care to be doing while you're here. So maybe it's a good thing and a bad thing. It used to be, I can't get connected, sorry, I'm at a conference. You know, those problems don't really exist anymore. So we are building things in with internet-based standards, JSON, REST, OData, right, OAuth, so that we can get connectivity where the users are. All these base parts are coming together to enable productivity. And luckily, presenting early in the week, you probably haven't seen this slide too much yet, so I'll drill in just a little bit. You know, we think about contextual apps, working where the users are, not really forcing the users to come to where the app is, but putting the app where the user is, whether it be in Mail, in Excel, in Access, in Word, PowerPoint, right? All of these different areas, or we can put apps in those locations. And the thing that was changed now is because we have these standards and because we have a stability of an infrastructure, we can now, instead of working with products, we can work with services. You can connect to Exchange and create a calendar request. You can find out who somebody's manager is to get an approval on an expense report. Right? You can query all these things, these services, wherever the app is. And that really changes the way you can build these apps now. You can have one app that reaches to all different parts of your enterprise. And then, well, with all these apps, we need a discovery mechanism to find them, and we have stores. We have the public stores, which is ISVs, you can put content there. But you have internal stores for your enterprise as well, so you can have apps that are specific to your company. And that is a key piece. If all of these things were the same, then what uniqueness is your business going to have to the next person? Is it just going to compete on price? I mean, your companies are building apps that tailor towards the uniqueness of your company. We've got a lot of platform services and products and, you know, the things that you can leverage. And then you can build the unique value for your company that differentiates you guys. Right? Maybe you do things just a little bit different how you do the sales channel. You surface data just a little bit differently than the next guy. And that's the power of the pro development experience that we're delivering here, and that's what this is about. Cloud Business Apps and the SharePoint app model is around the pro dev experience that's going to go that next level of depth where you need to write a lot of code to actually express the uniqueness of your app. So let's talk a little about the new app model. This has changed, you know, with the latest release of SharePoint, where now it's you can still do the older app model, but the focus here is we want to be able to have something where you get your sandbox to build your app in a typical ASP.NET kind of project, hosted on wherever you want. Of course, we've got a great experience with Azure, but it could be on-prem, could be with your hosting provider. You provide a manifest that says, here's where the app is, by the way, and SharePoint, here's some details, such as what permissions I need, what's the app name, what's the logo. Just really, it's just an XML file that says, here's where everything is. That makes up the app, right? If I look at a flow on how this would work inside your, you know, inside the company, the user comes to their browser, they look for SharePoint, say, hey, any apps there that I need, right? Already installed and running? No, I need something different. I'll go to the catalog. Do a search, find that app. It's searching through those manifests that are there. I can install that app, which is really just, hey, put this manifest into SharePoint. And SharePoint will say, oh, the site is over here. Depending on if you have additional data sources that you might deploy with your app in an auto-hosted app, it'll automatically deploy the website and automatically deploy the database. and your users are then up and running. And those apps can be apps that you develop inside your company or other ISV apps, but the whole idea is they're custom apps that are unique to your business that you can take advantage of. And with the new standards, what we're doing is making it easy to connect with those so you're no longer stuck. You're not limited by protocols to have to be in the company. It's really a matter of whether this app should be allowed outside, right? It's firewall configs. It's not a technology limitation. We're using JSON and REST and CSOM. Internet, just basically HTTP and JSON is really what it boils down to. And then in your website, in this case I'm showing Azure, but this could be, you know, on-prem or hosted, there you can talk to your data sources, and if they're OData and JSON, great. If they're not, because they're the technology we told you last year to do because it was the best thing ever, you can still use that because that's behind your firewall. Think of that as your DMZ to wherever your data sources are. That's the inside of your company. And from that website, from that service tier, you can expose the level of detail that you want for that app or other apps. And of course, we tie this all together with OAuth so that you really do know who your users are. Now, what's the difference between a SharePoint app and a cloud business app? Well, the reality is it's a superset. It's not different, it's just a superset. In a SharePoint app, you get this app container with a manifest. You get the configuration for SharePoint. You can define some app web lists and the other resources that you might use. But assembly is required, right? It's all the power of ASP.NET. The ASP.NET templates come, you know, we have web forms and MVC, and you've got a lot of great tools. We've done a lot of great work there with scaffolding and the Entity Framework. There's a lot of great tools and productivity that's been added there. And for those templates, we don't really know what you're doing. You could be a consumer site, could be a marketing site, could be a game thing that you're doing. That's the power of it. But if we know some amount of target of what you're building, we can help you further. So a cloud business app, what we do here is we actually know that you're building a business app. That's what the template says, right? If you're choosing that for a game, then, you know, buyer beware. So you jump in, and we now have a service tier that exposes those data sources. We know that as business app developers, your users are working in multiple locations, and you need and prefer an HTML5 client-side rendered app so that it'll work on whatever device they have. We've given you some productivity around a screen and entity designer, which we'll show. We have cloud integration with documents and people and social feeds and, you know, other features that we're bringing on continually to improve that experience. You can get to it in code. We're just helping you get to the things that you would normally get to easier. Control space, right? Autocomplete for you. And here, we kind of take this approach for the things that we know about. We'll let you do visual design first, but you'll absolutely still be able to write code. So there's lots of studies that are done that, you know, it's easier for me to select from. If I visually see something, I can select from a list of choices. If you're carrying three cards around your neck, I have a better chance of remembering your name than if you're wearing nothing around your neck. I'm like, who was that again? So those are the kind of things that we think about. Now, the visual designers are not, you know, are just productivity tools. You still have the power of the .NET platform behind you on the server and JavaScript and HTML on the client. So we look at the two project types when you launch them. A SharePoint project has a SharePoint app at the top there, and an ASP.NET project that has MVC and web forms, you know, pre-configured for you. So away you go. In a cloud business app, what we do is we give you a SharePoint project as well. We kind of have a bottoms-up approach, so we put it at the bottom. I'm not quite sure why it's there, but it's at the bottom, just made it fun. Then the server tier, the service tier, and in this case, we don't assume there's any UI in there. We actually have an HTML5 client project to separate out that code. Now, that mid-tier is an ASP.NET project. You can go and write MVC and add web forms and do whatever you want in there. Just we've optimized around an experience that is targeted around the scenarios that we hear you guys focused on. So for this demo, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to build this survey app, and I've done a little twist if you've seen our survey apps before. I've just changed it a little bit to be more relevant to the things I want to show today. We've got an HTML5 client. It's going to reach up to the service tier, and I'm going to work with three different data sources. I'm going to create a data source for surveys, just going to be a database that I just have with the app, because we found that most people that are building enterprise apps, and the same way for games and stuff too, they have data sources they're connecting to, but there's typically some other data that you need to store. Could be an MRU, most recently used list. Could be some caching of something. Or it could be something unique that doesn't belong in SAP, doesn't belong in that enterprise database, may not even belong in SharePoint. So we give you a RAD experience around creating data as part of your app. We'll go to SAP because that's where your products are. That's where your customers are. How many new customer lists do we have to create in the same company? Oh, I'll sync it up later. I'll clean it up. I'll do this data migration thing. No, just get it in the first place. And we'll store documents in SharePoint because, dang, that's what it's really good at. Why would we store them somewhere else? And you can, but you know, let's take advantage of the things what they're built for. This is an example of how we think about the architectures as well, is from the client, we've created this service tier for you, so you can abstract out some of the sources that you may or may not have permissions to connect to directly. The technology may be the thing we told you was the sliced bread of last year, or you might need to perform some logic on it before the user gets access to it. But for documents, it's a SharePoint document library. We can communicate directly to it, and we don't need to go through the mid-tier. And then we'll show how we can deploy this all to Azure, because that's one container, and I'm going to connect to those other sources. All right, so let's jump into some demos here. So what I have is Visual Studio 2013, and I've got the release that we just shipped on Monday, which has some enhancements that I'll show. So everything I'm going to show you today is release bits. You can go and work with it today and get started. So I'm going to create a new project. And under the Office and SharePoint node, we have the Cloud Business App template. And we'll call this SPC demo. And the first thing I'm prompted for is my SharePoint development site. Now, what we're doing is we are taking advantage of the SharePoint platform for authentication, for data sources, for the app hosting model. So we need a development site to connect to. And the only thing I just want to focus on this a little bit is that dev site is really a dev site. If you just try to connect it to your SharePoint site, it's going to do ugly things. And the thing that we're doing is in Visual Studio, we are sideloading that app on F5. Right? It doesn't have to go through the store and then be installed. So that's why it's a dev site, so that you have the ability to just immediately install that app on that box. Now, the nice thing is you don't have to install SharePoint on your machine. How many people have had to install SharePoint on their dev box just to make progress? Yeah. It hurts. And we've recognized that. Why do you have to install an entire server on your dev box? So now with Office 365 and our cloud platform, just use the one right there. So that's what I've got here. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do, let's take a look at the project here. So as I said before, I've got the SharePoint project. It's got the manifest. One of the things about doing this demo is I've learned to type very quickly. So I've got the SharePoint site there with the manifest on it. There's our server project. Notice there's not very much in there. And then our HTML client, and we've given you a structure to give you some places to visually clue you in as to what the next steps would be. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create that survey table. So this is a simplified entity designer experience around creating data sources. In this case, I'm going to create a survey. And what I want to do is set up the ability to survey products in store locations. Who's the sales rep? What's the store, the customer, the product? Where it's located on a shelf, and is it actually in good condition? Pretty straightforward and simple. Now, sales rep. How do you represent people? How about we just choose person? And because we're a SharePoint project, we can instantly link to the people in your company. That is a people picker. It's going to give you the selector from your entire company. We're going to give you a programming model over it so you can see the roles they're in, their manager, their org, and so forth. We will create, display, cleanliness. In this case, I'm going to store an integer as a value, and I'll come integer. And shelf placement. Now, for these two integer values, I'm going to store 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not very user-friendly. I want to give a choice list so I can give the user a choice of what to choose from. Now, of course, I can do another foreign key table and do it that way as well. But one of the things that we can do is I can just take a list. And these lists can sometimes be kind of big. And rather than create an experience inside Visual Studio for all the sorting and alphabetical stuff, we just use Excel. I could come over here and say choice list and paste it in there. And same thing for shelf placement. So just leverage the tools that you've got and pop them right in there. So that's kind of cool. All right, so I've got my survey. Now, I want to get customers. Well, like we said, your customers, depending on your company, are already there somewhere. So let's go add a data source to them. And this is a new experience we've done around attaching to data sources. And we've added SAP as a first-class experience. And now I can just zip it right along there. So I'm using auto hotkey, by the way, if anybody's curious how I'm typing so fast and no mistakes. That's the better part. It's not just the speed, it's the mistakes. So now I can attach to that NetWeaver Gateway instance, and I can see what's available. And with NetWeaver Gateway, you can expose, your SAP folks will configure those and expose the level of entities they want, and they do all the goo behind the scenes. And in Visual Studio, you get a really productive experience here. I wanted customers. What's this business partner thing? Well, one of the things that when we were talking with customers and we were actually meeting with some CRM MVPs, they're like, you know, I really want to browse that data. What does the data represent it? And we're thinking like, oh, great. We got to create an OData browser and this visualizer thing. And so, well, what if we just gave you a link? And if you've got IE configured, you know, to not try to help you with news feeds, it'll just show you the XML directly here. And I can see going, oh, yeah, that actually is my customer information. So that's cool. And so grab business partners. And the other problem we have is, of this large graph of data, what's the relations between those? So here I can navigate down and see the hierarchical relationship and figure out which are the entities I actually want. In this case, I just want customers and product or business partners and product. I could also search, because for some of these data sources, they get pretty huge. So I can just do a search and find them there. And we got search results, and then I can see what's selected. So done a lot to try to help you find the data in your company. All right, so we'll bring that data source in. And of the whatever number of entities are on the source, we're only going to consume the ones that you've set. So we kind of give you some focus. Now, I have yet to find an OData source that actually seems to put the properties in some kind of logical order like I've gotten used to with databases. So we've added the ability there to just automatically sort those alphabetically. And then I can do some organization here to move these around in the Entity Designer. Now, the reason I'm doing it here is this will be the default experience for when I create screens. So it just kind of cleans things up a little bit. I do it once, and now every time I create a screen, I'll have things in the correct order. So let's go see. Let's go get the address cleaned up. And if for those of you that worked with this before, you'll notice that the drag and drop experience has improved quite a bit as well. We've done a lot of work to improve performance in the visual design experience here. So let's see, street, city, country. There's a building in here somewhere. There it is. And we'll take the four created modified bys, put them at the bottom, and put currency code up here. And we'll get BP role. I think there was another one down there. There's one other one I don't care about. Okay. Now, the other thing that you'll notice is I've got four. Oh, let me just move this postal code up. Notice that email address, fax, phone, web address, the data types were already set. These are actually string data types, but SAP exposes a custom annotation, which I can see here, that says that there's a semantics for, let's see here, telephone, email, URL. So one of the things we've done is we've gone into that feed and look for those custom annotations on SAP and go, oh, we know what they meant. Their annotation means what we call email, web address, phone number in Lightswitch. So we read those in. And we read in some other things as well, such as whether you can actually get to that entity directly. So it turns out you have really no business getting to order details unless you go through the order. So you can't actually navigate to that directly. So we read some of those semantics as well. All right, so we've got that. I'm going to come over here, and on the HTML client perspective, I could actually say I don't want to see, address type, that's the other one. These two, I'm going to multi-select, which that simple thing was something we added. And I could say, don't display those by default. And whenever I'm looking at a business partner and I want to see just one property, there's something we call the summary property, make that company name. Okay? So just a couple of little configurations. We'll do a quick couple of them on product as well. Notice they're actually related because a product has a supplier, which is also the business partner. So we'll reorder this. We'll put the name of the product up here. We'll put category. Where's the supplier name? We'll move that up. Currency code, price. And price we can go change to money. Currency code. And let's see, is there anything else we want to mess around with here? We'll put tax tariff code. Supplier ID at the bottom, and type code. Oops, come on. And I'm just going to come over here and make those display by default false as well. So I got these kind of configured up here, feeling pretty good. Actually, summary property, that's the other thing I want to set. Product name. All right, so I've got products, customers from SAP, and surveys I've created as part of the app. Now we want some documents to assign to our document library. So I'll add another data source to SharePoint this time. And because you told us the development site, we'll just remember that, so we can just click next here. And now I can go find the product document library in my SharePoint instance. And if I can't remember where it is, again, I can just do a search. And it turns out it was in the document libraries. So I can just go to search results, click it that way. And there it is. We'll call this SharePoint. Now, notice we bring in user information list automatically as well. And this is, again, all about trying to make people a first-class experience. And with SharePoint, yeah, quick question? Yes, this can be an on-prem as well. The question is, can I use on-prem as well as Office 365? Absolutely. I'm sorry? No, the question is, do I need BCS? So no, we're actually connecting to these things directly. All right, so now I've got my three data sources. And what I want to be able to do is set up some relations between those. Right? I've got these three things, but how do I think about them as they interrelate with each other? So let's go over here to surveys. And we're now going to add the relationship from a survey to a product. And a product could have zero or many. We'll automatically configure the foreign key relationship for you. We'll add another relationship for customer or business partner. Same thing, zero or more. Again, we've set up the relationship for you because we can. And then from product, I want to be able to have a set of documents associated with that as well. So I'll add another relationship, product doc, to many. But in this case, we can't actually change the SharePoint list schema. And the other one, I was changing the schema on the survey table because it's owned by the app. So of course we can make changes to it. But that's okay. On my SharePoint list, I've actually already created a SKU to be the foreign key. So now whenever I add a document to a product through this app, we will know to set the SKU property on the document library that points back to the product, in this case, in SAP. So now I've got my relationship set up between all of those. Let me just go back over here and do one little minor tweak. I've got these two foreign key properties, which I actually don't have any reason to show, so I'm just going to hide those. Again, display by default, false. And I think if I've remembered all my steps here, we can start to add some screens. Okay. So I've taken the time just to set up things. And it's, the experience is very iterative. One of the nice things about the CBA project stuff is we're very good around semantic renaming. If you rename a column, a property, you know, a screen, you're not going to sit there and spend the next 45 minutes in F5 trying to figure out all the places you broke it. We actually have a model, and we can keep track of all the instances of that. And we will just do a symbolic rename for you. So we're going to add a screen. And the other improvement that we did in this release is we've actually given you a screen set. So it's nice to be able to do individual screens, and everything was set up for you. But we even give you the full browse, view, edit screens in one shot as well. So we'll create that business partner one. And there's our browse screen. In the browse screen, you only need a couple of properties. You don't need the whole thing to figure out which one. And in this case, we'll get rid of that, whatever that was, the ID. And let's just say city. Okay, and we can even say country if we want to have four. I can spell country. There it is. And then the view screen, we've already set up the tap events so that you'll now see all the properties. And if you want to edit, we have a screen for that as well. So those are all three of those were configured by creating the screen set. Let me just close some things down here. Let's go add a screen for products. Product collection. We'll add our surveys and documents. And we'll add one more for the surveys. Okay. Let's just hit F5 here, and we'll see what we got so far. So what I've done is I've built this all up, right? I've connected to the data sources. Some of them are in SharePoint. Some of them are in SAP. I've created this other one. Now what I want to do is actually run this for the first time. But we want to take advantage of that SharePoint instance for the people, the authentication, the app model, So on F5, what we're doing is I'm actually connected out to my SharePoint site. In this case, because I don't want to build out servers, I'm using Office 365 in the cloud. You want to connect on-prem? Absolutely. And I'm just going to say, trust this app. Remember, I'm sideloading the app here in my development site. So it sideloads it. It's going to run it. And notice now it's running from localhost. That manifest that was deployed to SharePoint said, hey, when you run this app, it's over here. And here is here on my laptop. And because it's coming from my browser, it can resolve localhost, and life is good. So here I've got business partners. Got a nice tile. I click on it. I can see I've got a nice formatted email. I can make phone calls. I can go off and call Holger. Sure. Let's go off and fire Link, and then we'll shut it down there. So we're starting to get, you're starting to see that full integration. Of course, phone numbers and websites and all of those things that just point and click and set them by default, and life is good. But what's really cool, and something we've also added in this release, is I can also change data. Anybody recognize that? Am I the only old one that remembers these phone numbers? 8675309. All right. So what I can do is save this now. I know I'm not dating it, but there's a lot of people that are in my graduation class. All right. So what I can do now is save this. So previous releases of our experience, you could save things to SAP if you knew to write this cross-site request forgery token. That's if you could also spell it. And the thing was, that's just boilerplate code. So we've added that to our project template. So again, you don't have to write that. It's default experience out. So now I can actually save data back to SAP as well. This is part of things we do around improving the first-class experiences. I can go to products. I can see all the data there. I could click on it. I can see a bunch of information. I can see the price. They've even got an image. We'll work on this a little bit later to improve it. And I can go back to my surveys. Now, I don't have any surveys yet. Before I create them, let's go clean that screen up a little bit more. So in the surveys, what I want to do is I want to actually see the product and the sales rep that's on there. So, and I also want to see it in a grid. In this case, I don't really want the tile experience. I just want to see the list of surveys. It's not a business app unless I have a big grid of data, right? So we've added, by popular request, the table control, because we refuse to call it a grid. We will not have grids anymore. We will have tables. All right, so we've got a table, and I can bring in product, and I can bring in business partner, which, of course, is actually a customer. So let's go back and just change this to say display as customer. And for product, I can't remember if I set the summary property, but I'll show you another way of doing this. Is I can say other screen data, and I can say product.name to pull in the properties of that object, because the product is an entity itself. So I can go and grab that, and we'll just get rid of that. And we'll make this product. I can also add these created and modified properties. And I'm just going to do these because it shows off some of the people stuff that we've done. And for any intrinsic entity, the things that you're creating as part of your apps, we will automatically add these created and modified properties to your entities. Oh, wait. I actually didn't mean to hit F5 in that. All right, we'll fix the next one. So now, when I'm launching this, I'm going to see my nice grid, which by definition makes it a business app. And now when I add it, I will see, you know, the default experience, and I can add things for my company. So I'm going to pick on Jim, he's my manager, and I can pull him out of the directory, right? It's going out to my SharePoint site and finding all the people that are in my company so I can select from it. Now, if it's Jim, it's probably going to be in excellent condition, and it's probably in the middle because Jim and I play on the same basketball team. No? No? Okay. And then I can also select from products, and notice I've got a list of products from SAP. Very cool. but it's not actually alphabetically sorted. So we'll go back and fix that in a little bit. Same thing from business partners. I am choosing the customers that come directly out of SAP, so I'm leveraging that data where it is. And I'm going to save that. And now we have our nice grid. And notice the created and modifieds are here. And not only is the sales rep a person object, and once the caching kind of kicks in here, I will eventually get a nice presence control. And we'll give that a minute. You can see I got the presence. There it is. And now you can get the full contact card. And I can see, you know, just as what you'd expect, office, org, so on and so forth. And all I did was just set it to be a person type. In this case, I didn't even have to do that because we create those created modified labels automatically. All right, so that's good. I've got my grid. I've got that all laid out. Let's see. I'll show that next one. So now I've got my basics up and running, right? I probably get into that iterative mode. I want to start making improvements along the way, and I want to not break things along the way as well. So one of the things I want to do is I want to sort those business partners, those customers and products. So I'm going to come over here to the Entity Designer, and for business partners, I can say add a query. Sorted business partners. And I get this visual experience, because remember, we start off visually first, company name. But if I want to write code, I can. In here, I can add additional query semantics to this. Right? I can extend the where clause. I can make this, I can add parameters. I could say, show me my customers ordered by company name. Show me customers that have revenue above my quota for the last quarter that are living in Timbuktu. Right? You can write all of that code. It's just we don't lead with it. We give you the visual clues to start, and then you add the code that you need. And I'll do the same thing for products. Sort by name. So now we've added those two queries. And if I go back over to our add edit survey, because that's where we were getting those lists, I can say add these two data items, these two additional queries that I had, sorted products and sorted business partners. And I see them on this left. We kind of have this data source-ish pane on the left here. And now I can select those combo boxes, and the choice, display, data binding, content, why is it not showing to me? Why am I being, all right, hold on a second. Display, hold on. Let's go back to surveys, add edit survey, and display cleanliness. Where's my choices list? Okay, well, shouldn't matter. Product. Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong one. That's why I'm being completely silly. I reordered my things and I'm looking in the visual location. So choices, business partner. All right, back to where we started. Like I said, visual clues. All right, business partner, and I could do the sorted business partner. We know which entity type it's chosen towards. We're not gonna, you know, we're gonna make it easy for you not to pick the wrong thing. Same thing in product. We know to look for a product's entity set. And there's one called sorted products, okay? So that's good. So now I've got those two sorted things. What I also want to do is let's rename some of these screens. Instead of business partners, let's just name them customers. Remember in that menu that I've got in the top, customers, and we'll go to products. Instead of product collection, just make this products. And now we'll F5 this again. Now, in this case, the initial F5, we had to install the app. We had to sideload the app to SharePoint. In this case, I made no changes to that SharePoint app manifest. So I can just go straight into the app, and it just updates the app, and SharePoint goes, yep, there it is. Go right back over there. And I've got customers, products, surveys. So I've cleaned up the names. If we come over to surveys, well, now when I add a survey, we'll pick on J this time. And yeah, it's good. It's at the top on J. And the business partner, now we're going to see that list is now sorted. And again, I could have also written a query to limit those names. I could also change the display to show more than just one name as well. And products, we'll go grab another product. Also, notice they're sorted now. So now I've got those two in there, and my screen is nice and good. Okay, well, that's kind of cool. But we've mentioned that the modern look, that still looks kind of Battleship Gray Windforms-ish. Right? How do I glitz it up a little bit with more images? If you remember, in that product list, I actually had a URL to the product. I want to actually use that. The problem is that URL is relative to the SAP instance, and I'm trying to serve this from our mid-tier, so it can't actually load that image as is. I have to add some more code. And we've said we've got a visual tooling experience to clue you in on where to start, but then that's one of the things around CBAs is it's just JavaScript and HTML and C# or VB, and you can write the code that you want. So let's go to the product collection, and we'll go to the browse screen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to change this up a little bit and add some products. So we'll add the product pick URL. Actually, I'm going to add another group here, new group. We'll add another product pick URL. I'm going to make this an image. I'm going to move this up here, and I'm going to move these things down here to give a nice little cool little formatting. And then for the product picture, what I need to do is we have an event here, which you can write your JavaScript code to plug into the model we've got set up so that I can stick in some code for data binding on the value. So what I want to do is when the data binding event fires, if there is a value in that URL, I need to build up a full string. So I'll create a total URI, and then what I want to do is, there's a little trick to this, and we have to work this out, is the data binding runtime is still running, so the data binding runtime is still setting it to the relative path. I use the JavaScript set timeout to say when it's done, change the source to the fully qualified URL. So that's what that fun little code is. So we'll save that there. And we'll just go to view product. And I've got the product pick URL. We'll move that to the top here. We'll make that an image. And we'll just stick that same code in there. Same thing. And then lastly, on our survey screen, we'll make that a little visual as well. We'll add other screen data, because in this case, it's the product object, because it's survey.product.productPickURL. Okay? And we'll make that an image. We'll put that up there, and we'll add that little snippet of code as well. All right, let's run this again. So now, when I go to products, drum roll, I get images. Starting to look a little more modern, right? Starting to look a little more visual. I can start to pick things out. I can get in there, I can see, you know, whatever it is, I can make changes. And the main point is not that you can make your apps just glitzy. The point is that with the CBAs, you get visual design experiences that guide you in the common paths, but you can still write code to do the things that's unique. And we'll go over, one more time. Let's do that again. There was something else I wanted to show. The other thing I mentioned is that what we call responsive design. So what responsive design, and when I first heard the term, I thought it meant that it was just, it was very responsive. It ran faster, better, stronger. And what it really means is that it's responsive to the screen size that you're working with. We've always had this druthers of being able to write our code once and magically work on all these different screens. And that's not always going to work. I mean, there's different gestures. And historically, the problem is that the smaller devices were touch and the bigger devices were mouse, where now we are starting to get the bigger devices get touch as well. But one of the things in HTML5 is they brought this responsive design concept built in. And now what I can do is, and we built this UI by default, notice that my squares there, my little tiles, are resizing. They are flowing down below as the screen gets smaller, as I go from a desktop to more of a slate kind of device. And notice where it says customers, it's going to change that font size as well when I get down to phone size. Right? So all of that is built in for you. And if I go to surveys, even our grid knows to reflow itself vertically when it's in this layout, as opposed to this layout. Okay? And I thought I put images on there. Guess not. Yes. I probably did it on view. I didn't put it on the browse screen. Let's just quickly put it on there. Come on. I'm sorry? Hey, what happened here? I think I hit Alt F4 on the wrong thing. Do you have a quick question? Can I take a business application and put it in SharePoint as a SharePoint app part? It's kind of hard to hear. The general answer is no, because we actually are full-page apps, but let me drill down afterwards. I have actually kind of made this demo pack, so let me make sure I get everything in. I'll happy to take questions after. All right, so back to my screens. I was doing my surveys, view surveys. I just wanted to check, because I thought I put the product pick URL. Oh, it's view, not browse. That's why. So let's do that. Add that there. Other screen data. Product.product pick URL, make that an image, put that to the top, write the code, and write the code in the right place. What did I do? There we go. Okay. We got product images, life's good, and let's talk about social. Seen a lot of stuff around Yammer and social feeds this week. How do you keep up with all this data that's going on and data changes in your company? Well, one of the things that we've worked on is improving that experience. So whenever somebody makes a change to a survey, let's say they add a survey, there it is. What if you could automatically have it post to the social feed when it was created, or post when it was updated, but only post if certain fields, properties, were actually changed. Kind of cool, right? So now we're starting to make that. Again, this is something you didn't have to write in code. You could, but you didn't have to. We put that plumbing in place for you from a productivity point of view. And if I make a change to that, let's just, now that we've turned that on, now, here you'll notice that I did have to sign in again, too, because I shut down. But if you look in the bottom left, and I'm sorry, I don't have the magnifier thing going there, but it's retracting, uninstalling the SharePoint app. Because in this case, when I added social, it's one of those manifest things that does have another permission set required from SharePoint to make a change to the social news feeds. So it's going to prompt me again, hey, we made a change. Do you still trust this? Yes, I do. And now it will update the manifest and then redeploy. Well, my app is on my local IIS Express, so just point to it again. So now when I go to surveys and I add another survey, and there's our picture coming in there. In this case, I will pick myself, and this will make sense later. Good. Still on the same basketball team. At some point, you guys will pick that up. No? All right. And then we'll save that. But when we look over at our news feed, because we have the SharePoint Chrome there, we can see that I created the survey to the sales rep. Now, what we do here is we try to do a good job of making the smart decisions. And in this case, the smart decision we made on what to say we posted in the news feed was we look for the first string property on your entity that's not the primary key. And in this case, it was a sales rep. But again, we can change that. What I can do is I can add a computed property, something that will get calculated, and I can write code to do that. And I will call this the social summary property. I can go write some code for computing it. And I can say if product not equal to null, result equals product dot name, else result equals sales rep. Okay? So I can write other logic. I can go write off other link queries to go get some other data from another data source. It's code. Do whatever you want. That's the beauty. And then all I have to do is come over to the entity, and in the social area, I just say, make the property that I post to the social feed use that computed property for a social summary. So I'll run that again. Go to social surveys. We'll add another survey. This one wasn't done so well because I was rushing it. Make this the poor quality choice, and we'll go grab another product. Save it. Go to news feeds, and now we'll see that it's going to post the product name in this case. So whatever it was, Easy Hand 3, whatever. All right? So again, integrating with social, integrating with the cloud platform APIs, giving you productivity, but giving you code to extend it where you want. And what we also do is we've added deep linking in this last release as well, so you could bookmark, or in this case for social, I could click on it and go straight to that survey. So that was another piece that we added. Which, if CBAs are actually single-page applications, so you have to write a little extra code to do that, we've built that code straight in. Okay, so we've got social. I think I started to tee up the business rules. Is what do you do when you've got special logic? So first of all, if you noticed, I've been messing with Jim and Jay on surveys that were written by them, and Jim's at the bottom, and Jay's at the top, and so on and so forth. I want to actually don't allow clients to inject special code in there. I actually want that to be set on the server because we don't trust clients. Right? That's the thing about integrated apps. So what I can do is on the inserting is I can say entity.salesRep equals this.application.user.personID. This is the beauty of building this into a SharePoint app, an O365 app, or you know, SharePoint on-prem as well, where we can take advantage of that AD integration. So I can default those values. Likewise, I can also filter. And I could say, I only want to allow surveys that I've created. So I just add another Lambda expression, sales rep equals this.application.user.personID. Ooh, where'd that go? Person ID. So now, and I'll do one more, I could also do cross data source business rules. So let's just say that for every survey that I create, I want to go change a value in the SAP business partner, customer, that was created. So I could say this.businesspartner. Hey, what was I doing? Oh, entity.businesspartner, that's right. Businesspartner.created equals datetime.now. Now I've made a change in memory because we're changing surveys. That's one data source. I just have to say this.dataWorkspace, SAP, that's the data source. And I say save changes on it. Right? So I have access to all of those data sources in my code. So now when I run this, what you're going to see is I don't see the surveys that other people have created, even though I created them. But the sales rep is assigned to them. Because I've written that filter to filter them out. So I've just got mine. And when I create a new one, even though I'm going to say Jim, the server is going to say, yeah, I don't really care what you said for the sales rep. I'm going to set it to the value I want on the server. So now I'll get a third one in there and could really just pull this element off the screen because it's not needed anymore. All right? So there's the place that you can do your business logic on the server as well. Okay, so last demo before I deploy this puppy is customizations. So first of all, people want to add logos, no problem. Grab some logos. Images, we'll place those in there. We'll say yes and override those. But I also want to customize the style sheets. So we have a user customizations file here. Now let's just say for those surveys, if their quality is low, I want to mark them red. Okay? So I can just add a dot attention class, red. And now what I can do, right, I just added this to my style sheet, and I can do some more data binding code on the client for my survey browse screen that on the row, when I post-render, I can just add some more code in there that says, hey, if the value is below a certain value, add the style sheet for attention or pull it off. Right? So that part's in there. And let's just run this one more time, and then we'll wrap up with a publishing of auto hosting. So far, so good. Make it seem a little more productive than sitting there and cranking through all the code. Yes? All right. All right, so let's go back over in customers. We'll go to surveys. And notice I've got one that's red. And I don't really like things being red, so I'm just going to go change it. And we'll make it from poor to good. We're going to change it. We might as well make it excellent. And now life is good. I don't see anything red anymore. So did I just kind of bypass what I was supposed to be doing, what I've actually seen? Well, if I go to news feeds, I could see that I kind of got busted and that the property was changed. All right, so you can see how you can tie all these things in, and all of a sudden you can get a much more productive experience, a much more feature-rich experience. And because we know they're cloud business apps, targeted LOB scenarios, we understand that where to focus the productivity. All right, let's just bounce out to slides one moment here to put some context. So what did we do in that whirlwind? So, all right, we aggregated a bunch of data sources from SAP, what we call the intrinsic database, the database that's part of your app, and a SharePoint document library. We posted to news feeds. We've added business rules that are unique to your business. We've let you focus the depth on the places that are unique to your company and the things that are common. We try to bring you through really quickly. We've done cross data source rules, right? We updated SAP when a survey was created. And we actually allowed, you know, I showed how you can make changes to the UI with style sheets as well. So I want to publish this guy. It's great to have on my machine, but IIS Express isn't exactly how everybody's going to run the app. So in SharePoint, we have a couple of hosting models. In the cloud, we have provider-hosted and auto-hosted. And auto-hosted is really nice because I don't have to worry about the details. It's still going to be an Azure website and a SQL database if I've chosen one. In this case, I have. But I don't have to pre-configure it. And, of course, you can do hosted apps on-prem as well. In CBAs, what we'll do is when you publish it, we actually don't finish the publishing, because that's just not the full SharePoint model, is we give you a published package, which you then can add to the store, and then people can install it. So let's walk through that experience. And actually, it's pretty quick, so I should be on time. So the first thing we do is switch over to release mode, so I don't get the nag warning when I go to publish. I'll go to this top project node, which is the coordination project for a cloud business apps. And I'm going to choose auto-hosted. And here is where I can change my development URLs for the data sources I connected to for SAP and SharePoint to the production ones. In this case, I'm actually going to use the same, so it's OK. For the SharePoint data source, we've actually put in this host web token so that we will replace that with whatever the root URL is of the site you're publishing to. So that's really nice and cleans things up. So let's come over here, and we'll go to our production store. And we'll shrinky-dink this down here. We will go to the site. And now what I can do is I can click and just drag that package file straight into the store, and it will upload it. And which one did I do? Sorry, SPC demo. There it is. Now what I could also do is edit this guy and edit the properties. And what I want to do is change the URL to be an icon. Go to site contents. What am I trying to do? There we go. Site assets. Where am I not seeing? Site assets, there we go. And I'm just going to copy this properties, grab this URL, just to kind of glitz it up a little bit. And we'll paste in the URL there. So now I've got a nice little icon. We'll feature it, save it. And now what I can do is go and say, add an app. And there's our SPC demo. I will trust it. And now, because the app is now being installed, if you remember that slide we did earlier, it's installing. is that it'll now provision for me. And now it's taking a second, but let's think about what it's doing. It's taking that manifest, which is in that package file, which also has the website, the HTML client, the mid-tier service, the database for our surveys, and it's actually provisioning an Azure website for the service. It's provisioning a database for the server, a survey database for me, and all of that is now configured for me, and I didn't have to set up servers, talk to IT, build out infrastructure, get the IT guys to set up the firewalls, blah, 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 blah. And, okay, maybe I do. Permissions, did I mess up something? All right, so what happens when you're talking and doing it? I might have messed up the names because I was redoing the demo multiple times. So here we go. We've got our customers. We've got our surveys. And that data that we did in development for the surveys was test data, so it didn't publish that out. But, of course, it didn't blow away my SAP data either, so now I can go and add all that functionality, add the data as I need. All right, so pretty cool. Let's see. Let's bump back out and wrap things up. All right, so what did we cover? We talked about building on the cloud platform. We talked about the mobile experience, that mobile enterprise where people are working, and we want to enable those, and that's why we've tailored our client to be an HTML5 responsive design. We're leveraging the technologies you're already doing. If you're building your consumer site, you're doing ASP.NET and MVC, or ASP.NET and Entity Framework and OData. We want to leverage those so you're not learning new things. We've aggregated data sources. We've across disparate systems. We've focused on productivity and allow you to work on the unique aspects. We've seen some announcements from SAP this week. We've built in some experiences with them as a first-class experience. We will be doing that for others as well. If you want to connect to SAP in a test environment, there's a URL in here that you can use. We'd love your feedback. We've built this product for you. We've taken feedback from you. Kelly will be down at the booth. It's a Visual Studio booth. He'd love to talk with you more about what you guys are doing, what you guys are doing in the future. So please come by and talk to us. Tell us what you're doing so we can, again, be here next year and talk about the great features we've improved for you. Take a look at the previews for Office. Again, it's no longer a product. It's a service. Build the apps that you want and connect to these things the way you need to for your apps. Engage with the community. That's where we're getting our features from. Those are the scenarios. You guys are telling us what you guys are doing. And use the tools to be productive. Other sessions. So I messed this up. The one on SBC 361 is actually not Sarab, but it's also a pretty cool one. The gray ones are the ones that have already been done, or the ones we hear. And Shoshana on Thursday will be talking about some more work, some future work we're doing with SAP. So what I showed you today was connecting to SAP with what we call basic auth, the traditional service account. What we're working on is letting the user's identity flow all the way through. So in SAP, you'll know who actually made the change. So some really cool stuff coming there. Other than that, PACT, thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys taking your time. Thank you. And I'll stick around for other questions. And I'll move that there in case anybody else has questions.